Psalm 25, verses 15 through 18, the Word of God says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." And let's pray. Lord, as we talk once more about affliction this evening, help us to sense the gravity of the topic. And then, Lord, to receive comfort from you. May we be prepared that if you ever call us to the furnace of affliction. And, Lord, we will be surrounded by people in our lives that are going through trials and troubles. And help us know how to comfort them in their afflictions as well. And Jesus Christ was a great blessing to all the lives he touched. Help the same to be true of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, on this Affliction Sunday, I want to speak briefly one more time on this idea of affliction. Affliction is a lasting pain of body or mind. It is more than trouble. It is more than a trial. It's more than a difficulty. It's affliction. The word itself just holds some gravity, holds some weight. Affliction. It just feels heavy. And it is. The Bible gives us some ways that we can conquer affliction. In the book of Psalms, of course, if you ever notice that whenever you're struggling or you're really hurting, you can run to the book of Psalms and find comfort and encouragement. God uses hurting people to help hurting people.
That's right.
And so don't miss what I just said. Because if God wants to use you, there are going to be times when you're going to have to hurt. God uses hurting people to help hurting people. The truth is, the people that have never hurt don't really usually have a lot of compassion for people that are hurting. But if you've been through pain, you know what it's like to suffer, then you have a built-in feel, a built-in draw to those that are suffering. Think about Jesus Christ, and we just experienced the Lord's Supper, and we're grateful for that. But you realize God uses the suffering of some to help other people. The entire Christian faith is based on the suffering of one person helping other people. The technical term is vicarious suffering, substitutionary suffering, someone suffering for someone else. A good thought about that today is the idea of a parent suffering for the children. Most children and teenagers in this room have no idea how big of a weight it is on their parents to provide for them. To provide for them physically, put a house over them, put clothes on their backs, make sure they got good food to eat. That's the basics, not even counting the spiritual upbringing, the trying to be a good example, trying to protect them from satanic influences, and hoping and praying and begging God that they get saved and then that their heart connects with God in a way that's going to last and they're going to follow him forever. I mean, going to work every day or cleaning the house or slaving over the stove. You know, the truth is, as children, we unknowingly, and most of the time, we don't recognize that we are constant beneficiaries of our parents' suffering. Now, that doesn't compare at all to the type of suffering Christ did for us, but it does give us a little bit of a reference. Oh, I see what you're saying. Christ died for us so we could go free. And suffering given to God, affliction given to God, will always benefit someone. God doesn't waste suffering. It'll benefit someone if it's given to him. Now, the sad thing is, if someone suffers in bitterness or they suffer in anger and they're not giving their hurts to God, then that suffering can be wasted. The good that it was meant to do perhaps won't get done, but God in his great mercy will often still take that pain and suffering and somewhere over here do good with it, even if we never connect the dots. So suffering is going to be a part of all of our lives. Matter of fact, the book of Peter, 1 Peter, talks a lot about that you're going to suffer as a Christian. Absolute fact. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Mark it down. It's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to suffer when you did nothing wrong. Sometimes you're going to get the short end of the stick when it's not fair. Sometimes things are going to happen that don't make sense. It's called life. And as a Christian, we have to understand that if we can take that and we can grasp that, but understand that no matter what comes my way, whether God gives me a life of relative ease or he gives me a life of extreme suffering, that whatever I go through, whatever suffering I experience, as long as I give it to God and I try to suffer in faith, God can use it for his good. That's a powerful truth. Because if you've ever truly suffered, the one thing that you're going to want to know is there a reason for this? Is there a purpose to my pain? Because it's difficult for you to believe that you're suffering for no reason. And that's what Satan will try to convince you. There's no purpose for this. It's meaningless. It's just God's a mean God. And you didn't deserve this. And he tries to twist it and turn it. But whatever we give to God, God can use for good. I think about Romans 8:28, amen? God's able to use all things for good. But here in Psalm 25, I want to just give you three quick things tonight that you can use during times of affliction to sustain yourself and make sure that you keep your eyes on the prize, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and God can use your suffering for good. And if someone near you is suffering, we can also point their thoughts and ideas to the same thing. So let's look at Psalm 25, verse 16. The Bible says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." So what do? We have to have mercy. We need mercy. Hey, whenever you're afflicted, you're just begging for mercy. I can't take anymore. I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know if I can go another step. I don't know if I can go another day. I don't know how this is. This isn't sustainable. God, I need a break. I need some mercy. And he says here that he's desolate. This is a Psalm of David, of course. He's desolate. He's empty. It's like a barren desert. I don't have anything left to give. You ever been there? I'm sucked dry. There's nothing left. And I'm afflicted. The Bible talks in the Old Testament about the afflictions of David. Think about David. You know, we think about him, the cute shepherd and the mighty victory in Goliath and the mighty king. David spent years being hunted like a dog. Years. His loyalty was rewarded with betrayal and murder. He was living in caves for years. He had to go to the enemies, the Philistines, begging God the whole time that he wouldn't have to fight against his own people, whom he loved. He literally lost everything. At one point, he's with the Philistines running for his life. He has to act like a raving lunatic, slobbering on himself, acting like he's lost his mind. Regal King David, champion of Goliath, slobbering like a raving lunatic. He lost everything. He lost everything. But notice he turned to God. And that's the beauty of David. Even in David's sin, he turned to God. And if you and I can learn that tonight, that whatever's going on in our lives, if we can just turn to God, that's where we find the strength to move on. Look at verse 18. Look upon mine affliction. So he's asking the Lord, look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. See, let me say first of all that we take comfort in God's compassion. We take comfort in God's compassion. God cares about your situation. Well, why is he letting this happen? If you need that answer, you're going to die unhappy. If you expect God to answer to you and give an account to you about why he does what he does, you're going to be unhappy. Because you're going to have to learn just to say, God, you're God. I wish I knew. There's going to be things in your life that God's going to reveal to you. But there's going to be things in your life where you're going to have to say, Lord, I am content letting you be God. I don't need to know. I don't have to figure it out. And he says, Lord, forgive my sin. Now, Lord, if there's something between me, if this is happening because of chastisement, then forgive me. And we talked about recently that it's always good when bad things are happening. It's always good to check yourself and make sure that God's not chastising you for something. But listen, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes affliction comes, trials come. And it's not because you've got sin in your life. God might be doing something else. Some very immature Christians look at other Christians who are struggling and they just assume there must be some type of sin in their life. That's not a very scriptural position to take, is it? This health and wealth gospel that says God doesn't want anybody sick, God doesn't want anybody poor, God doesn't want anybody to suffer. Look at the cross, friend! If God the Father will put his own son on the cross, you think he won't ever let you suffer? You think you get a pass? Matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, you can drink the same cup that I'm going to drink out of. You're going to suffer, sir. We're all going to suffer. The hope is that we can take comfort in God's compassion. We can take comfort in the fact that God cares and God knows. And Jesus himself was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hold your place here. Very quickly, look at the book of Hebrews, and we'll look at chapter 2. This is important for you to know that Jesus is a Savior who has experienced pain, and that we have a high priest who's not elevated and detached from humanity. He suffered himself. Look at verse 9, Hebrews 2, 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, is made a man for the suffering of death. So he came to die, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He tasted it. He experienced it. It wasn't a mathematical equation. It was an experience where he choked on the death that should have been yours and mine. Think about that. And the Bible says that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. I confess to you, I don't even know what all that verse means. We know that Jesus Christ was perfect in himself, but there was something that becoming a man and suffering added to this whole equation. And we know later that at least part of it was that he now knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. These aren't just creator things where he senses you and knows your thoughts and your heart. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was hot. He was cold. He was betrayed. He was afflicted. If you ever notice with people that suffer deeply, when two people that have suffered deeply meet each other, there's almost an instant connection. It's because they may not have the same exact problem, but they know that each other has walked roads that most people they meet have not. There's an instant connection. And Barbara this morning, she mentioned Amy Northrup. My wife and Amy Northrup, they're both so sick, maybe three or four times they ever had a decent conversation over the years that they knew each other. But they talked about each other constantly. And whenever they did meet, it was almost like they would start talking and I would just kind of step back because something special was going on. And what I'm saying is that whenever you suffer deeply, there is a connection with other people that suffer deeply. And this is the connection that Christ has with you. This is the connection that God says, I've been there. I know where you're at. And that ought to help us. We can take comfort in God's compassion. Look at verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became a man. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, the word temptation here does not mean a temptation to sin. I don't believe Jesus Christ could have sinned. Sometimes you'll hear a discussion about, well, Jesus could have sinned if he would have chose to. We don't have time to get into that tonight. He was in the flesh, but he was a son of God. Sinless son of God. He had no desire. He had no pull like you and I have. He never saw anything that said, ooh, I know I shouldn't, but. That was never even a part of his thinking. It wasn't a part of his makeup. It's not that type of temptation. It is the testings of life. It is the trials and troubles of life. He was there. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows what it's like to be surrounded by people that didn't have the faith he had. He knows what it's surrounded to be surrounded and be in a place that he didn't want to be, and how he longed to be with his father, and how he longed to go home, but he had a purpose here. There is nothing that you can feel. There is no emotion or situation that you can put your foot at where Jesus would say, I don't know what you're talking about. You can take comfort in God's compassion tonight. Psalm 106:44 says, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. We can take comfort in the fact that God hears us when we cry and we pray. Psalm 140 verse 12 says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Listen to me very carefully. When God allows affliction in your life, that also comes along with a special connection with him. People that are truly suffering, they're truly struggling, and they learn to rely on God, they get a depth to their personal relationship with Christ that people that haven't suffered like that can't have. It's just not available to them. It's not that they don't want it. It's not they're not worthy of it. But there is a depth of reliance that comes with suffering, that comes with weakness. And later you'll see one of the psalmists literally says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Who would say that? Because without affliction, I wouldn't have God like this. And it's kind of a weird tug of war mentally and emotionally because you so desperately want this weight off of you. You so desperately want this situation to change. And yet there's a fear that if it does, what if you don't need God like this? What if you don't need God to take every breath? What if you don't wake up in the morning saying, oh God, I can't stand another second if you're not with me. Or oh God, I can't face the day if you're not with me. How many Christians jump up and get out of bed and go take a shower and eat breakfast and oops, I forgot to pray today. You forgot to pray. People who are suffering don't forget to pray. I didn't have time to read my Bible. People in affliction don't not have time to read their Bible. They search for it. They long for it. They cling to it. I've got to have strength. God, you got to give me something today. They fall on their knees and they beg God for a touch because they need something that the average Christian doesn't need. It's affliction. It's an ugly word. But oh, how God comes with His grace. And there is a connection that can't be found any other way than through suffering. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I've said before, this is one of my go-to psalms. If I am struggling and if I just need something and if God doesn't do something in me, I just don't even know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to face the day. There have been many late nights sitting up praying and reading Psalm 119, and God got a lot of good stuff in here, amen? Psalm 119, verse 50. Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word quickens means to make alive, to resurrect, to breathe life into. I said, first, take comfort in God's compassion. I say, next, take comfort in God's word. You see, just like I said a moment ago, when you're in affliction, you don't forget to read your Bible. It becomes your lifeline. Sometimes you don't feel like reading it because you're just in such a mess, you can't hardly think straight, but you kind of crawl to it like a baby trying to find their mother. You just have this longing. If you can just get to it, and if you can just get some words, and if God can just breathe some life into you, it's changing, transforming. Look at Psalm 119, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You ever felt that way? You just ever feel like, hey, I'm not going to make it. If God doesn't do something, I'm just not going to make it. If God doesn't change something in me, if He doesn't give me something, I'm just not going to make it. And unless thy law had been my delights. Now watch this. It's not if I don't get to read a verse or if I don't get to read a chapter. When you're in affliction and you wonder if you're going to survive, you're not reading the Bible to check off a day. You're reading the Bible because you got to have something. And God can breathe life into you through the Scriptures. I look through Psalm 119 and I see underlines and circles and words written in the margin as I remember how God has used these things in my life to breathe life into me and to breathe strength. And we can take comfort in God's word. And then let me show you lastly. Look at Psalm 34, verse. Oh, what a great chapter. And notice the inscription under the title, A Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. That's one of the things we were talking about just a moment ago. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Do you believe that? You take comfort in it. Take comfort in God's compassion. And then he says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. Do you believe that? Take comfort in God's compassion. And look at Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You can underline that verse, because there's going to be days where you're like, Lord, I don't know if we're going to make it through this one. But no, the Lord says, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. I remember Brother Hiles years ago, he preached a message on a Sunday morning called, It's Not a Bump in the Road, It's a Bumpy Road. And he was talking about the idea that you think, well, something happened, and after this is over, I'm going to go back to my perfect life. No, after that bump, there's going to be another one. And after that bump, there's going to be another one. And after that bump, there's going to be another one. It's not a bump in the road. It's a bumpy road, this thing called life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I wrote down here, take comfort in God's victory. You know, God's already won the battle. He's already won the war. We just have to remain faithful. We take comfort in God's compassion, take comfort in God's word, take comfort in God's victory. And I was going to be done, but I feel like the Lord wants me to show you one last thing. Look back at Psalm 119. Let me share this last thought with you. And that is, take comfort in God's glory. Look at Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now stop and think about that. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Remember that connection? Because of my affliction, God's given me insight into his word I wouldn't have. He's given me a relationship I wouldn't have. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine saying, Lord, it's good that I've been broken. Lord, it's good that my life will never be the same. It's good that fill in the blank of terrible affliction. And one thing they said here is, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Watch this. Lord, other people are going to see what you're doing in my life. And this is where we take comfort in God's glory, because you may not be able to do all that you want to. Your life may not be what you had hoped it would be. But if you stay faithful in affliction, you become a platform of God's glory. You become like a movie screen that God is projecting his glory on. And as people see your life, they watch you suffer faithfully. They hear you say things like, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. And they shake their head and they say, how can you say that? They hear you say things like, I'd rather have the Bible than $1 million. And they shake their head and they say, that's insane. That they don't understand where you're at, but they also know that if they were in your place, they would have been done a long time ago. They would have gone, jumped off a bridge. They would have gotten divorced. They'd be a drunk. They'd be a druggie. They couldn't handle like what's going on in your life. And you become a platform for God to show the world his strength. And you get to the place, like in verse 75, where you can say, I know, O Lord, not I think, not I hope, but I know that you're right. And it's okay that I suffer. And it's okay that you destroyed my life. It's okay that you turned it upside down. It's okay that you took everything that I was leaning on, everything that was important to me, and you knocked it all out from under me. And I thought I was going to die, but you've gotten the glory. And it's okay, because you're right and you're God, and we're going to be okay. And you think about that and you think, how can someone say that? And honestly, it's someone who has suffered in affliction faithfully. Because the more you suffer and the more you give that to God, the more your faith grows and the more God does things in you that He couldn't do if your life was like everybody else's. Simple message tonight, but one that goes to the very core of what it means to be a Christian. One that cuts to the very quick of what it means to be a human surrendered to Almighty God. And how we respond when God does things we don't like or we don't want makes all the difference. So we take comfort in God's compassion. We take comfort in His Word. We take comfort in His victory. And we take comfort knowing that if we just keep putting one foot in front of the other, trusting God, that He's going to bring Himself glory. And He's right. And He's good. And everything's okay. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're going through affliction right now. Maybe you just came out of something. Maybe, God forbid, you're getting ready to go through something. There's no one in this room that's immune to suffering. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I wonder if you're willing to give Him your suffering. I wonder if you're willing to give Him your pain and ask Him for the faith to bring Him glory. Let's stand. As the piano plays, the altar's open.